Okay, what were you saying?
Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Spiritual Help Desk Radio. Join your hosts, Barb, Asha, Reverend Rick, and Peter, each week as we explore various topics, interview enlightened guests to help you on your spiritual journey. Our call-in number is 347-426-3457. That's 347-426-3457. Now sit back, relax, and take it all in with the Spiritual Help Desk.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Spiritual Help Desk. We're so glad that you've decided to join us. We were actually just talking away just before the program started, and we could barely start the program because we were so excited about just all of the different things that we wanted to talk about. So we're so happy that you've joined us, and this is actually our wrap-up for the summer, early wrap-ups for the summer show. So we are so happy that you've decided to join us as we move into the summer and look to the future for what's coming now. There's so much that's happening. And I'm thrilled to say that today we have with us again Patricia White, who was here with us about a month ago, and we'll just be saying hi to her in 1 minute. And in the meantime, I want to let you know that my co-hosts, who are well known to you, are here. So there's Reverend Rick. Hi, Reverend Rick. How are you?
Hello, Barbalyn. I'm doing very, very well. Thank you very much for asking.
Oh, you're welcome. And Peter Rowe. How are you, Peter Rowe?
I'm doing well as well.
Perfect. And Asha almost made it tonight, but not quite. So perhaps we'll be talking with her in the fall. So we'll see. We're kind of up in the air, and that's always a good place to be when you're talking about angels and ascended masters and all of that. So just wanted to again tell you that we're delighted that you're here. And Patricia, hi.
Hi. It's nice to join you again tonight.
Yes, yes. How have you been, and what's new with you?
Excellent. Moving along in my work. I'm still teaching my meditation classes, and I've got a shamanic workshop coming up on Monday. I do a lot of teaching locally, and I'm looking to expand and learn how to do work online. You'd understand that by teleseminars, webinars, whatever. I'm just learning the language about it all and what's possible. So right now I'm doing a lot of teaching locally and speaking locally and going from there.
And, you know, guys, I'm just going to ask Patricia, because we just had a conversation about an hour ago, and she was just talking about sort of an adventure that she's going to be having shortly. Is it Los Angeles that you're going to?
Yeah, I'm going to Los Angeles to work with Christina Morassi, and she's got an event going on for 3 days in the third week of June, Finding Your Ecstatic Brand, which is really the direction I need to go in. I'm so used to the teaching persona, and really don't have a background or experience in business and marketing or all the technology that's out there to put yourself out there. So for me, this is going to be a really exciting adventure, and I'm going to be meeting up with people who are at different degrees of putting themselves out there and also from backgrounds of energy work and shamanism. So it's pretty exciting.
Sounds really great. I'll be interested. I was just telling Patricia I was going to be down in Windsor for a few days just after she gets back. So we've made a date. We'll probably have a bottle of wine or something with us because really want to hear about what she's going to be experiencing while she's there.
And certainly more interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, you know, we have so much to talk about because everybody is moving in some new directions, and maybe I should invite you guys to just talk a little bit about what you're doing to begin with here. Peter and Rick, you've got some plans coming up. Would you like to share a little bit about that before we get into a broader conversation here?
Sure.
Sure, of course.
Rick, do you want to go ahead?
Why don't you go ahead and do the classes, and I'll talk about the radio show.
Okie dokie. Well, Reverend Rick and I, as we've mentioned before, have been working on a human design class, and it's finally happening. It's been a little bit I'm looking for the right word. It's been a little bit sort of going this way and that way and then back this way, and I guess Pooh would probably have a good quote for that. Anyway, it's finally happening, and the class is going to start next Tuesday. We're actually rushing to put together the email announcement, which hopefully will go out in the next 24 hours. But it's a class that we did a run-through, teaching a segment of it with my wife's organization, Angels Teach. And this is going to be the first run making it standalone. That version of it was sort of incorporated into the Angels, and so there was a slight twist on it. And this is just going to be straight up. And the focus of this class is a little bit different than anything I've seen out there. And because a lot of the other classes that are more than a weekend workshop are oriented towards, we're going to teach you human design so you can become an expert in human design. And I think the big difference in this class is we're going to teach you human design, we're going to try to make it as simple as possible and focus on you understanding you, because you understanding your design is really where you're going to get the optimal change in terms of harmony, in terms of life, and in terms of relationships, in terms of making decisions about career choices or even things that you want to explore. And so we're really excited about it. And like I said, it's the mail is going to go out in the next 24 hours. We will put a post on the spiritualhelpdesk.com. And are really excited.
Cool.
Woohoo!
I was just thinking too, as you know, as Patricia was talking about what she's going to be doing and the direction she's going with learning more about business and about herself. I guess with what you do with human design, people will be learning a lot about that as well, about how they would best be able to manage a business or move in a direction that's going to be really supportive of them. Would that be true?
Well, I think really if you start to understand the tool of human design, and especially about your design, it makes the decision-making process much easier and much more organized. I think that a lot of us learn about and sort of form our decision making around trial and error, and it's not that that's going to completely go away, but this gives you a sort of a mechanism to play with that. And Reverend Rick and I are big on playing. You know, we're going to give you information that you can then take out into your real world and play with and see how it works for you. You know, because there are certain generic things about each person's design that are starting points, and then, you know, but that gives you a starting point that then you can really tailor your experiment or your playing around, so you sort of have a little bit of an anchor, that it's not so random, it's not so maybe back and forth.
Great.
That makes sense.
And Ricardo, would you like to talk about the new radio program that you're going to be involved with?
Absolutely, and this is actually, you know, Patricia, what I was saying before the show started. there's again working with Peter's wife Nina's Angels Teach group. One of the other teachers from Angels Teach and I are getting together and starting an online or a blog talk radio. My phone's doing weird things here. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Good. I don't know. It started beeping at me and doing strange things that I'm not familiar with. So, but anyway, we've decided we're going to start a blog talk radio book club. It's called the Spiritual Book Club. And the focus is going to be on having discussions around specific books, but the books are all spiritual books or books that we have found helpful in our journeys, our spiritual journeys. And really what we're looking to do is we're looking to basically be a resource and a help for people. It's sort of like a branch out of the Spiritual Help Desk, really.
Mm-hmm.
Because what we're really looking to do is help people in terms of building bridges between religion and spirituality. And, you know, many people, as they grow in their faith belief, faith belief systems, they kind of transition. A lot of the people that I've been encountering over the last couple of years, few years, have transitioned from a religious perspective to what they refer to as a spiritual perspective. And many of them are taking an either-or type of position. You know, they grow from the religion, from the religion foundation, but then they grow beyond the limits of that foundation and think that they need to do something different for their spirituality, or that somehow or other these two things are mutually exclusive. And one of the things that we're hopefully going to help people to do is to not only grow in their spirituality, but to also see that, see how important that foundation was for them and how it's not necessarily mutually exclusive, and you don't have to decide to give one thing up in order to have another. You know, so hopefully we'll be able to help people blend those two things smoothly in their lives and maybe even alleviate some conflict and heartache that might be there.
That sounds wonderful. I know that once people have even taken one book in and gotten so excited by the message and the possibilities in the end and open their mind to that, they're so hungry for other books. And to have this show available that directs them to all the possibilities of book titles and authors and what's out there is really going to be satisfying for them, because I know they'll use language like, I don't know where to find people who talk like this, or who I could have a conversation about this or have these words. And to have a source that says, oh, well, just tune into the show, because, boy, can we tell you about some pretty great books. And
yep.
If you liked that one, you're going to really like this one and this one and this one, and it's exciting.
Absolutely. Mm. We've decided that the first book we're going to talk about, and we're actually going to give it, you know, some really good timing, because we're going to take it apart agreement by agreement, and that Don Miguel Ruiz is the Four Agreements.
Yes.
And we only meet once. We'll only be meeting once a month, but you know, each time we meet, we'll be devoted to another one of the agreements until we're done with those conversations. Really, just to give it the attention it deserves, to really talk about the experiences that we've had in our lives and how it's been important for us. We welcome our listeners to join us. The show will actually be on Saturdays at 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Time, again, here on Blog Talk Radio, and it's going to be called The Spiritual Help Desk.
It is?
I'm sorry. I'm the Spiritual Book Club.
Oh. That means taken.
Spiritual Help Desk. The Spiritual Book Club. Oh, my God.
Oh, that's cool. That sounds great. It's all good. It is all good. It's all perfect.
We're. I guess I'm like having a hard time letting go of the Spiritual Help Desk.
Well, it's such a great name. Remember when you came up with that, Peter, and it was like, yeah, we could all see Charlie Brown or whoever it was sitting. Who was it, Linus? Who was it with his nickel, you know?
Lucy.
Lucy, okay.
Lucy, yeah.
It was just that spontaneous, like, flash of lightning above your head, and there it was. It was great. Oh, terrific. Well, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about this and sort of the link between spirituality and religion, because sort of as I mentioned, one of the things that Patricia and I were talking about was the idea of growing up spiritually, and we were, you know, talking about kind of some examples of what were some turning points in your life. And I thought that was kind of an interesting conversation.
And Patricia, you were talking about it that you'd had an experience recently with one of your classes, and I just wondered if you wanted to share some of that with us.
Sure. I had a meditation class last week, and I brought up the topic of a mental, emotional, spiritual maturity, that we don't have a particular age that suddenly we're hit that age and we're there, that it's a process, and we can't assume that when someone's in the later years of their life, they've reached a strength in emotional or spiritual maturity. It's a process. And I was telling them that you're talking about a book club, and I'm an avid reader, and I find it doesn't matter what I pick up, something speaks to me in that book. And I love Robert Parker, and I really mourned when he passed away because he's a prolific writer of mysteries, and I really appreciate his writing style and his humor. And he has a character, Dr. Susan Silverman, who happens to be the love interest of Spencer, the detective. And she's talking about what it is to be tough. And I remember she said, being tough means looking straight at something ugly and saying, that's ugly. I'll have to find a way to deal with it, and doing so. And when I read that, it just jumped out at me that spoke to a real emotional maturity, strength, and it brought me back to that idea of the fact that we grow mentally, emotionally, spiritually as we're continuing to live and live our journey. And I remembered a turning point for me when I was taking the course in energy medicine called Laying On of Hands, and I happened to be in a class, and I was partnered up with a woman from the Upper Michigan. And that's a distance away from me, so I've never met her before, and she was in my class, and we were partnered up to do an activity, and we'd just been taught some basic hypnosis-type introductions, and we were asked to practice, and she took on the role of the practitioner, and she was going to do an induction, and I was going to be the client. And I had said to her when we were getting started that I had a massive headache, and that's unusual for me. I don't get headaches. It was so excruciating. I had a difficult time functioning. So I said to her, how be we do this exercise, and let's find out why I have a headache. And she agreed. So my method of with her induction was to do a shamanic journey. And you know, with shamanic journeying, you find an entrance way, and you use the entrance way and pass through a tunnel to get into non-ordinary reality. So what I did was I used my nasal passages and went into the center of my head. So this gives a whole new meaning to being into the, you know, in your head. And when I got into the center of my head, I met my power animal, Buffalo. And Buffalo brought me to a spirit guide that I had met and been working with in my shamanic work. And I call him Grandfather. And we were standing on a hill. And he said, look down. And I looked down, and I could see a Native American village. And they were under attack by another group of Native Americans. And when I looked down and I could see the one village attacking the other village, within seconds, I was in the village among all of the fighting, and I was in a woman's body, and I could tell in that moment that this was a past life, and I was that woman experiencing this turmoil. And I also knew when I was there that there was a warrior standing in front of me, and he had a war club in his hands, and he was raising it, and his intent was to drop the club on my head and kill me. And I knew just before he was doing that, he just killed my two children, and they were laying at my feet. So I was in that moment of recognition of, oh, my God, this is a past life. He's just killed my children. He's going to kill me. And as I had that realization, I was back on the hill with Grandfather and Buffalo. And I was looking back down at the village, and I said, what's this about? And Grandfather just said, look. And I looked down, and I could see myself as that woman, and I could see the warrior standing in front of me with his club raised. And there was a beam of light from my eyes to his eyes, kind of locking us in place. And just as I was questioning, and what's this about, I got it, that what I was witnessing was an energy dynamic of the victim and warrior, or abuser, however you want to term that, and that in that energy pattern that I was locked in, the realization came that I had been that warrior, not that particular person necessarily, but there had been times, many lifetimes, when I had done different degrees of abuser warrior, and that I've danced that dance of victim, abuser, in lifetimes. And to own that was humbling, but very important. And it just, it was really powerful. And when I owned that and I looked at grandfather and I said, oh, I get it. In that dance, that dynamic, I've been both. I was back in the woman's body. And I was looking up at the warrior, and he was staring intently into my eyes, getting ready to drop his club. And I looked at him, and I just said, I forgive you. And I meant that from the core of my being. And then he dropped his club, and he killed me. So I was back on the hill with grandfather in Buffalo. And it was, you know, I had finished the journey doing that. And when I came out of it, I had no headache. It was gone. And I was telling the woman who was the my partner in this exercise all that had happened. I said, my headache's gone, and I believe this is what it was about. This was an important turning point for me in recognizing compassion, forgiveness, and most importantly, owning any shadow side and all of those times that I have been on the other end of victim. And she was crying, and I said, well, why are you crying? I'm the one that just got clubbed to death. And she said, I was that warrior. And I said to her, excuse me? And she said, I was that warrior. I have been looking to heal that part of me that has been an aggressor. And when you said, I forgive you, that went to the core of my being. So it was really a profound experience of synchronicities, you know, to have this woman as a partner and to go through this whole experience. It was amazing.
Mm. And Patricia, we didn't talk about this when we were having our chat before, but how's that impacted on your life now? How did that change things, or did that make a difference kind of personally for you in this present lifetime?
Yeah, it does. All those times when I'm ready to step forward and judge, I just want to hold, you know, step back and say, wait a minute, this is me. And I really get it, even though I have my moments of vulnerability and I'll, you know, I might get angry or frustrated, but I really get it what it means when we say in a spiritual context, we're everybody. I am that person, and I am that person, and I am that person, and I am that person. And I think we have experienced to some degree in some way from lifetime to lifetime all of those different roles. And when we really can experience that and go to the place of compassion, the judgment falls away. And I think the instantaneous, the instant response of maybe anger or frustration can be, you step back and you can be a witness more easily. Because in the end, I think being a witnessing presence for your own life is really important.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely. That place of being the objective observer, I know.
Yes.
I've found more and more that I've been standing back, and sometimes I feel like I'm trying to figure it out. You know, I'm like, but it's much, very much the objective observer.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, and kind of what's the significance of what I'm seeing right now? What's the significance for me in this moment?
And I think too, helping to have that understanding of energy dynamics that we can be locked into these patterns with, it's almost like a dance with a dance partner, and we take all of these steps. And sometimes when I'm doing energy work and I'm seeing these people's stories and the people in their lives and how they're acting it out and what's going on, it's like, oh, well, there's a dynamic going, there's an energy pattern here. And if we can understand that, it helps us to move away from that energy pattern and release a lot of pain or woundedness and heal and grow. There's a wonderful movie called Life is a House with Kevin Kline and Hayden Christensen. And it's a story of a man who is divorced from the love of his life, has one son, is a teenager who absolutely hates him and doesn't want anything to do with him. And he's just lost his job, and he's been told he has cancer and there is no cure, and he only has a very short time before he's going to be passing away, and he's on medication for pain. And this kind of impact on his life is profound. So the movie starts with that, and you watch through the movie as he has his son, he decides to tear down his old house that he grew up in and build a house that he has designed because he's an architect. And as he's tearing down this house and he gets his son involved, you watch the energy dynamic that they're locked in, where his son hates him and he hated his father. And the whole movie's a dance around this relationship of generation to generation, father hating son, and all of it coming out as to why and what it's about. And it brings a beautiful healing and resolution by the end of the movie. And the interesting thing is everybody who's involved in helping them build, tear down the house and build a new one, have things going on in their life, and their things that are going on also come to resolution. So it's really interesting to understand energy dynamics and how we can get involved in it. And that witnessing presence really helps, not only for our own lives, but helping to understand others and being a witness for them.
And we're really being called to that right now, aren't we? I think many of us are seeing those dynamics and recognizing that it's time for those patterns to be dissolved and to be changed into something that's more authentic, more useful, more loving, really.
Yes. Yeah, in the end, loving and compassionate and understanding.
Yeah. Any comments from you guys over there?
I was just thinking. Go ahead, Peter.
No, you go ahead.
No, I couldn't possibly.
I'm doing the Winnie the Pooh thing again.
Shall we go together? More Looney Tunes than Bugs Bunny.
Okay.
No, actually, I was going to ask, what's the name of the movie again?
Life as a House. It stars Kevin Kline and Hayden Christensen as the teenage son who's rebelling against his father. It's absolutely beautiful. What I love about this movie is that it's not technically spiritual cinema. It's not going to talk about chakras. It's not going to talk about energy medicine. It's not going to have any of those terms. But when you watch the story of this human being facing death and wanting so much to heal, and bring his son kind of home to his heart, it's absolutely gorgeous. And I think that's spiritual. And whoever wrote that script was very gifted and really brought the message along. And again, it really helps you to understand how we can get locked into an energy dynamic, especially in a family, from generation to generation. It's a really good movie.
Well, thank you for bringing that up, because I will be looking for that movie.
Mm-hmm. I think it's at least 10 years old, but it should still be available in I have it in VHS, but it should be available in DVD.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Peter?
I was just going to say that I really resonate with the whole healing interchange and healing each other. And as part of my spiritual journey, we went on my wife and two children went on a journey through England, Scotland, and Ireland for 3 weeks, about 8 years ago, I guess. And as part of that, I ended up doing a journey on this island of Skye, and it was similar in a lot of the concepts in terms of I was a Viking and I was an abuser in that lifetime, and it was really healing. But there was definitely a sense of the journey was for me, but the journey was not just for me. It was for that place. It was for healing. Healing a part of all abusers, and it just had that connection. In that resonance, and that's just one instance, but I really resonated with your comments on that, Patricia.
Yeah, when you speak of that, I can see you as that Viking doing that healing, and you're healing that persona and all that were involved in the land as well, because I know the land takes on energy when there's a lot of turmoil and battle, and that sounds like a really profound healing experience, Peter.
Mm.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And anything that you guys would like to share about what's been your spiritual journeys around healing or around peace or anything that really comes to mind tonight?
I guess I would, you know, I really find the book club and Reverend Rick, how you presented that and have come up with this with Carolyn, in that whole concept of the religious structure and spirituality. And for me personally, it resonates because I grew up in a very Protestant Christian home till the age of 13, at which point my parents, who were the big influence in that, passed away, and I moved to my oldest brother, who is either agnostic or atheist. And so, you know, I went from a very structured environment, which I felt very comfortable in, to sort of nothing, to sort of coming back into organized religion through joining a Unitarian church 10 or 12 years ago, and then from there sort of stumbling into my spiritual side by learning about shamanism, studying with the Mayans, studying hands-on healing and a variety of other things. And, you know, it's really only probably been in the last year that I've started to bring, I guess, that separation back, or ease that separation of feeling the gap from being spiritual, and trying to figure out how would I connect with a more structured religion.
Mm-hmm. And what appeals to you about doing that, Peter?
Well, I think because by not doing that, that creates a gap between me and all those people that are in a structured religion.
Hmm.
You know, if I can't see that for myself, then it just makes more of a barrier to be able to talk and converse and communicate with people that are more centered or based in within those more structured religions.
I would think you bring a much more richness and groundedness as well, having taken the journey you did and coming full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Reverend Rick?
Well, in regards to what Peter was just saying, I would have to say I have a similar experience, I guess, although not from external sources, more from internal sources. My mother was very devout Catholic, and so I grew up in a Roman Catholic household. But at a relatively early age, we're talking about maybe 13 years old, my mother gave each of my brothers and me the choice. And she raised us in the Catholic faith, but then said to us, you're old enough to choose. You're old enough to make your own decisions. You're old enough to investigate for yourself. Do you want to continue going to church with me, or do you want to go in a different direction? And being a very devout Catholic woman did not keep her from being a very mindful woman of the way life works. And so she gave us that option. As a child, I took the option to stay with Catholicism. By the time I got into college, I made the choice the opposite direction. You know, I decided, okay, I need to explore other things, find out more about what this thing is that's religion that I've just been kind of going with the flow with rather than really conscious thought behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did my own spiritual journey, not necessarily turning away from religion, but not accepting anything that organized religion said just on faith anymore. You know, I wouldn't say that I scrutinized everything, but if I had questions, I asked. And I was a very inquisitive child, too, by the way. But
really?
I remember one time I was in church with my mother, and the priest asked me if I'd been to confession yet, and I said, "What's that?" And he pointed to the confessionals and said, basically, that's where you go in and you say all the things you did wrong, and you know, you tell me, and then I tell God, and God says what to do about it. And I looked the priest right in the eyes, and I said, "Well, why can't I talk to God directly? Don't I do that every time I pray anyway?"
Mm-hmm.
There was no answer for that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, that was one of those things that kind of stuck in me, and by the time I made it to college, I realized, okay, I do need answers.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say I've come full circle. I do not reject Christianity. I do not reject my Catholic upbringing. But I do reject certain, what I'm going to refer to as sheeple mentalities. For instance, you know, Christ taught about love, you know, with no conditions on it. And there's a wonderful joke about, you know, having love and compassion and no judgment for your fellow men regarding the adulteress in the New Testament, where the crowd is gathered to stone her to death, and Jesus says, "Well, let he among you without sin cast the first stone." And most people are familiar with that story.
Mm-hmm.
What's not written in the Bible is what happened immediately afterward. There was a rock that came from the back of the crowd, whizzing past his head, struck the adulteress square in the forehead, and knocked her to the ground. And Jesus turns around and yells through the crowd, "Mom!" Now, my mother, the devout Catholic, is the one that told me that joke.
It sounds like she set you on a path of a spiritual maturity at an early age, because I think spiritual maturity or an emotional maturity, psychological maturity, has so many different aspects, and you got a chance to be free to choose.
Absolutely.
And did, and that's wonderful, and it's empowering, and I hear that.
And I most of the wisdom that I've developed through my life, I know I developed through the example of my mother.
Mm.
You know, because of her insistence on asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
She always told us, ask questions, ask questions, ask questions. If you don't mm-hmm. understand something, ask. And, you know, I take that with me in all areas of my life, whether it's spiritual, mental, emotional, physical, you know, my studies, all of that. And, you know, to come back full circle and say, you know what, I'm going to carry a stone in my pocket so that I can hand it to anybody who's not being loving and say, "Here, this is a message from Jesus. He says, throw it if you've got the, you know, if you meet the criteria."
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be honest and say, I've given that stone to myself many times over the last couple of months that I've had it. Because
mm-hmm.
I do carry it around in my pocket.
Well, and Barb asked me, since that journey with, you know, owning the shadow of the warrior abuser, how has that changed you? And I think it is, and I'm so glad you gave the metaphor of the stone in the pocket, because, yeah, I carry it, and trust me, I'm throwing it at myself many times, because it's a process, but that's a wonderful metaphor, the stone. And you know, when you said that, and I used to teach religious studies, so I'm familiar with the passage, but he was without sin cast the first stone, and if you really own how many lifetimes you've been so many different things, really, you're not going to be a person who can throw a stone, because you have lived so many things that would be called maybe the dark side, whatever. So, yeah, who can walk around in this lifetime and say, having lived many lifetimes, I'm without sin. I've never done anything. I've never done anything wrong. I'm perfect. Clean slate.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, it's incredible to think that there are, I know I just picked up a film that I can't think what it's called at the moment, but got it from the library, and I had seen it advertised somewhere, and it's about a woman being stoned in the Middle East, and I was really loath to pick it up, but for some reason I'm really drawn to it. So I'll be interested to see after this conversation how it resonates for me. Like, am I the, you know, am I, I am I that, or am I that, or am I all of that?
Yeah.
Of course I am.
I am. It's really a very powerful phrase to say, you know, as you're carrying that stone in your pocket, very powerful to look at everything and everyone and saying, I am that, and I am that, and I am that, and owning it.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's pretty much a reminder to me to act in a loving way. But at the same time, if I'm going to be acting in a loving way, then I think I carry a certain responsibility to help people identify when they're not being loving either. And part of that comes from, you know, what I've been reading in the Four Agreements with, you know, the Toltec wisdom. The Toltec individual that, I guess, became enlightened, decided to call himself the Smoky Mirror. Because he was trying to teach his people that we are all mirrors for each other. And they weren't quite getting it, so it was as though the mirror was clouded, so he referred to himself as the Smoky Mirror. And over the centuries of you know, having these teachings and all this, people are getting it. So the clouds, I guess, are lifting, or the smoke is clearing. And
the veil is getting thinner.
Yeah, people are starting to see clearly in the mirror, and they recognize that we are all mirrors for each other. So what you see in others, you have in yourself, and it goes back to that expression of when you point the finger at someone, remember there are three more pointing back at you.
Yeah.
So in that sense, I think we've all had similar journeys where, you know, we've come to this realization. We've had the religion, you know, the dogma, the box, if you will, of the box of being in that religion. And we've all explored outside of that box. But then the box becomes a boundary, and it it becomes, I think, an apparent boundary, a perceived boundary. And I think we all create gaps because of that perceived boundary. And for some people, I've discovered that it's very, very important for them to have that good, solid foundation and not be caught up in the gap between that and where they currently are. Because I think we're all, as Barbara, you mentioned, we're all being challenged to grow, you know, in leaps and bounds in our faith, in our faith belief system, whatever it happens to be. And I think for many of us, we're realizing that the systems in place right now can only go so far. And I think we're all being called to push further, to go further, to leave deeper and to live more of the message, and not necessarily the confines. If that makes any sense.
Well, and I've been, as you know, hanging out with some Baha'is of late, and have been, you know, very, I guess the word's impressed with that religion, that perspective of really everyone, that their perspective is that everyone is it's a very inclusive perspective, and that everyone is welcome, and that everyone, the respect for everyone's religion, that you can be a Baha'i and still be a Christian, you know, that you can be a Baha'i and be Jewish, that you can be a Baha'i and Buddhist, and that it's just a journey, kind of a continuous journey as we become more aware and more in enlightened, that there are avatars that bring more information or more wisdom forward, and certainly the Baha'i faith has been bringing some beautiful things forward. I think for me, I've been listening to Joseph Campbell the last couple of days, who is a mystic and an author, and taught at a college in Massachusetts for many, many years. I think he's been dead now for, at least 20 years. Died when he was around 90. And what an amazing teacher he was, and he was talking, you know, very much about the whole idea of Buddha and Christ consciousness and the Buddha nature and all of that that we are so much becoming to recognize more. He talked a lot about Eastern religions and how so much of that was, you know, in the East was recognized that there was that Buddha consciousness, but that there were all these other little bits and pieces that were not quite as clear and perhaps as pure as what Buddha was intending. But he mentions that some of the really best Eastern teachers have been in Western countries, that they have brought a real brightness and a clarity. And so I'm just, I feel like someone asked me if I was a Baha'i recently, and I said, not really, I think I'm an eclectic. And, you know, I have this base in Christianity, but it feels so much like we're just stepping forward and taking with us all those gifts from the past and moving them into the future, and that so much of that is about that Buddha nature and Christ consciousness and Abdu'l-Bahá and, you know, Abdu'l-Bahá consciousness, just a real connection to the divine and a recognition that I am that. So, you know, my daughter-in-law is going to be a United Church minister, and my son, who I've mentioned before, who, you know, is wearing sandals connected to Archangel Sandalphon, even though he doesn't know it, says that he doesn't really believe in anything, but he is totally connected to nature. And so for me, I do believe that this kind of eclectic journey for me is going to continue. This, you know, I keep saying I want to go straight forward now, but it feels to me like the meandering journey was going to continue, and I just kind of love to hear what everybody has to say and just keep going. Yeah, that sounds good to me. And I still, you know, I did a shamanic journey one time, and I had the experience of meeting Raccoon, who had taken his mask off, and I slid down his tail, and he told me that all of the information of the universe was encoded in his tail. And I was like, yes, I like that. So I continue. I think I'm going to be continuing those journeys down Raccoon's tail and see what else is there. Yeah, I like that.
Sounds wonderful.
I like that too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and don't you love the idea that the raccoon took his mask off?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, we live in fascinating times, don't we?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So we have about a few more minutes here. Anyone else have things that they want to talk about? Or Peter, how are you?
I'm good. The raccoon taking the mask off. We had this wonderful dog named Indiana Bones. She was a cross between a greyhound and a black lab.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just the most graceful and loving dog. She could sit next to a 4 foot high fence and jump over it without any run up whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So she was also called Houdini sometimes. But anyway, she. And we had a great life with her. She was with us, I think, 10 or 11 years. And then on it was either Christmas Eve or Christmas night, in the middle of the night, she had a heart attack. And at this point, she was sleeping next to our bed. And at this point, I had gone through hands-on energy training. And she was making some noise, and we woke up, and both Nina and I were there. And my guidance was very clear, just to ease her pain, and she passed away within like 2 or 3 minutes. And shortly after that, I can't remember, it was either, both both Nina and I were doing a meditation, but we both got this image of our dog Indy taking her mask off, and she was this ascended master.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such a, it was an aha moment,
mm-hmm.
in that, you know, because, you know, she was just, she, like, the whole neighborhood knew her because she would just jump over our fence and go visit people. And they loved to see her because she was just this dog that was full of love. I don't know that she ever barked in her entire lifetime. It was just such this revealing moment when we saw that in our meditation, that, you know, here was essentially this ascended master that had been with us for 11 years, and through our human eyes, we're seeing her as just this, oh, this loving dog. But, you know, she was here to basically not just teach us, but teach our neighbors, you know, so much from that vehicle of a dog's body.
Mm. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful story. In the native tradition, it's my understanding, when I was doing the shamanic training, they talked about pets, the pets that we have, that they're sweet medicine, that they have roles in our lives different from a power animal or a totem animal, and their gift to us is to be sweet medicine, you know, companions in our lives, and they're with us no matter what's going on in our lives. I love
Peter, you always have, you and Nina always have a lot of that sweet medicine around, don't you?
We do. We got our share.
They have a sheep whose name is Ninja.
Oh, cool. Well, I remember in my last visit with you, I mentioned the book The Art of Racing in the Rain by Garth Stein, and it's a beautiful story about a dog who absolutely is in love with his master and his master's family, and is dedicated to being a human in his next lifetime. And he has such insights about life and why he wants to be a human and how good he'll be as a human from what he's observed and understood of the world as a dog. It's really a good book. And again, going back to books that are particularly spiritual in terms of talking about energy medicine or chakras or metaphysics, this dog and his story has such spiritual truth in it, and it's just a story, it's just fiction. So again, the writer's reaching us, and I feel calling to raise our consciousness, and it's done through a story about a dog who is living with his family for all of his lifetime and just wonderfully does wonderful observations and insights and wants to be a human when he passes. Yeah, that's wonderful.
What's that title again?
The Art of Racing in the Rain, and the author is Garth Stein.
And you use books and movies a lot, right?
Yeah, I do. I love to tell stories. Whenever I'm teaching, whether it's my conscious living courses or meditation or the feng shui courses or shamanism, or any speaking engagements on emotional intelligence and movie therapy, and when I was in the classroom, always telling stories. The power of story is profound. It goes right past the rational mind. It gets right into the core of people's being as they're listening. We love stories. We have since we were children. And it just gets the point sometimes better than the actual words of a lecture would. So, yeah, books, movies, stories, yeah. I love stories.
Yeah, they're so great and so... they really get to the heart of the matter, don't they, very quickly?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Reverend Rick, what you thinking? Hello?
Oh, he got muted somehow. Hold on.
Okay.
Here he is.
The poor guy.
Hello. Can you hear me now? I had some of that sweet medicine come up and just knock the phone right out of my hand.
Was there a message in that?
I was going to say, Patricia, from the last time you were here, when you mentioned that book, I actually went out to find it, and I plan to include it on the Spiritual Book Club.
Excellent.
So, because I I love the storyline so much.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear that, because I truly see in movies and books so much consciousness raising and call to my spirit that isn't even advertised in the book or the movie as spiritual cinema or a spiritual book, and it's there. It's like the universe speaks through so many ways and through stories, and it's really exciting to encounter that over and over again from book to book or from movie to movie.
Absolutely, and Barbara was kind of alluding to something earlier with Pooh. One of my favorite characters is Tigger from Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I would say my second favorite character is the Pooh Bear himself.
Mm-hmm.
For me, Pooh has always been a spiritual teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since I was a little kid, I can look back and realize now why I had that fascination, because it wasn't just silly stories to me.
Mm-hmm.
They were quite truly life lessons. And as an adult now, and you know, I can reason through all of these things and realize, oh yeah, okay, that's why it was. But it just had something when I was listening to those stories as a child. It just had that impact on me.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think loving stories is universal, cross-cultural. Everybody loves a story.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with the book The Tao of Pooh?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay, so there you go. That could be in your spiritual book club, because you love Pooh and you love the stories, and The Tao of Pooh is pretty good for spiritual reading.
Oh, and he captured all of their essences very, very well. Benjamin
mm-hmm.
Hoffman, remarkable
mm-hmm.
job in that book.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, taking this back to what Peter and I used, the human design tool, Gate 57 is known as the gate of intuition.
Mm-hmm.
A very strong intuitive hit, or an intuitive energy. And it just so happens that there's a lot of references in the Tao of Pooh that speak directly to human design as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And on page 57, they talk about intuition.
So I would hazard to guess that when you and Peter are teaching this course this summer, you're going to be reading parts of that story.
There will
to
be
reinforce your points.
Yep.
Because they're great teaching tools. I love stories.
Oh, I
you
can just
have
see
my
you.
Attention over and over again.
I can just see Reverend Rick, because I've seen him before doing the boing, 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 boing. That was at James Twyman Seminary. It was.
That's right. My nickname in the seminary was Tigger.
That was fun.
Oh, bother.
Yes, I think you've got a lot of material there, guys. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Well, Patricia, do you want to share again what your website is just for our listeners?
Sure. It's www.consciousliving101.com. No spaces. It's all one word, Conscious Living 101. And on the website, a lot of my material is presented as what I do locally. And at some point, as it's in process, I will be putting some information on blogs and webinars and teleseminars as I learn about all that and project myself out of the local scene and online with an online presence. It's, as I say, it's a learning curve. And, I do want to take time out this summer to write, and I have an interesting summer ahead. It sounds like Peter and Reverend Rick have an interesting summer ahead with their programs, and Barb, I know you personally, and I know you've got a great summer ahead. So
mm-hmm.
we're all doing good.
Yeah, we are. Such great stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
Love it. Love it.
Thanks ahead.
And I forgot to mention, there is a meditation, free downloads on my website of teachings and a meditation, a breath meditation. And then there's also a meditation page that introduces the seeds that I made for meditation. That's teachings plus 2 25-minute meditations. So, and they're what I use in my meditation class. I call it Meditations 101, and they're pretty popular. So I'm pleased to present that. That is something that could go online and out there as my first venture out.
Great. Rick and Peter, you're going to be sending some emails and posting about your upcoming class?
Yes, we will. We will. There will be a post on the Spiritual Help Desk that will direct you to where you can find out more information about the class. Classes, like I said, we're going to do this, I guess I'd call it, it's not a trial run because we've done that. So this is the dry reel run or
this is the dress
whatever.
Rehearsal.
Dress rehearsal. It's the first time through, so we're offering a very nice discount to the class.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity. It's a 12-week class. There's 8 videos that we made. They're combinations of PowerPoints and narrated. And so then you have the videos plus 12 live classes where we're going to go over the materials.
Now, if you can't be present for one of the evenings for the class, is it recorded so that you could touch in with it and keep up with the class?
Absolutely, it is.
Yeah, we'll be looking. The intent is to be able to record each of the classes, and have them available for people that weren't able to. Weren't able to attend.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly how we go about doing that, I'm not quite sure yet.
Mm-hmm.
we have a product in mind, but we have not used it professionally yet. So,
mm-hmm.
Our intent is to do that. At minimum, the classes, the voice of the classes will be recorded to MP3.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping that with this tool that we've been testing. That also there will be video that you can rewatch the class, essentially.
Excellent.
If that's
mm-hmm.
what you prefer.
Excellent. Great. Right. Now, before we started conversation and we were put on, I can't remember if it was Reverend Rick or Peter were asking me something, or did I know that you'll be in the area or something like that? And we were cut off because the program started. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah. I think I started to say something about the Spiritual Book Club.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's what it was.
Okay. Okay, great.
But I was asking if Barb, I said I don't know if Barbara had told you or not.
Yep, she had in our conversation earlier today. She spoke about you and Carolyn putting that together. So it sounds really exciting. I'm an avid reader, so.
I've read thousands and thousands of books. So I really see an exciting thing about the Spiritual Book Club. Great.
Well, we're open to suggestions for books as well, because I think between Carol and me, we haven't quite read that many.
Well, I was thinking about it. If you're going to break it down like you did the first one for 4 months, Winnie the Pooh is going to provide you a 6 years' worth. you'll be able to spread this out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we figured we would test it out and do an agreement per month first.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a while before, you know, we expect that we'll grow as word gets around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll take some time with each of the agreements and discuss them. And you know, I mean, these things are, it's a very simple book to read. You know, it's easy to get through. It's easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And yet there are so many opportunities to go so deeply in it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of healing that can be done from each one of the agreements that are in that book. And so that's one of the reasons we decided not to rush through it.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrific.
And again, a wonderful opportunity for people who want to be in a community of conversation for the language and the shared ideas that they might not get in their work life or their home life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we're... Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, come one, come all. Everybody's welcome. We appreciate anyone who wants to listen and welcome all kinds of participation. Anyone who wants to be involved in the discussion is welcome.
Sounds good.
Well, I think we're kind of at the end of the show for now. We've made this decision to take a break for the summer, and
Anybody have anything more that they want to say?
Thank you again for having me on the show. It's been a real pleasure to have this conversation with you again.
Oh, thanks, Patricia.
Go ahead, Peter.
I was just going to say it's our pleasure. It's always wonderful to talk to you and enlightening.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I would agree. I'd say you're a blessing to the show, and hopefully when we come back in the fall, you'll be able to join us several more times.
Well, that would be just delightful. I'll have more stories for you. I'm sure I'll have read 1,000 books by then. Gross exaggeration, but really, maybe close to it.
I wondered if it would be all right. I wrote a poem that I posted on Facebook, or a prayer that I posted on Facebook today, and I just wondered if it would be all right with you guys if I ended the show with it period of time.
Mm-hmm. I'd love it to. I read that earlier.
I think that would be great. And Barb, I was thinking I might follow that up with the recording that we have that we did on one of the other shows, Love Is All by, is that Diane?
Pam Durand.
Oh, Pam Durand.
I just went to a concert that she did on the weekend. And I have to tell you, like, it is so powerful. She now has an agent and someone who is producing and underwriting her next CD. And the producer, I guess she's an agent, is from the States, and one of her clients was on the front of Time magazine. So I really think that Pam is, it's like, wow! So we can all say we knew her when.
We knew her when, and we can feature her one more time tonight.
Yes. Yeah, so Love Is All is what you're going to play, Pam Durand, right?
Yep.
That's fantastic. Thank you. So we'll talk to you guys soon.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So are we going to hear the prayer?
Yes. Dear Universal Love, show me the way to go from here. Hold my heart in a place of your peace. The self I am becoming, please take my hands and guide me through. I know there is no other way to be than you, my greatest potential. Thank you for who I am now, for the insights and the lights of myself, and for the brilliance of those around me. Thank you for the changing seasons and the soft breeze, the rain and the warming sun. Thank you for the day behind and for the wonderful sleep that I'll have tonight. Hold me in a place of joy, a place of peace. Thank you for all the people I spend time with this week. So many love and support me. Thank you, too, for the support that I can be to them. Dear God, show me the way and provide in me the trust and the strength to keep going forward in love and ease. I thank all my multidimensional selves for the experiences that I have had and that have brought me to this place. I send love, peace, and ease to all those selves existing through all time and all dimensions to ease their journey and to lighten their burden. I send you love, especially when you feel as if you are merely existing in a dark place and as if there is no one to trust, no one to understand. Know that you are surrounded and embraced by wisdom and light. I especially send faith and love and comfort, as well as ease in movement and strength in being to myself who lives right here now, in this moment, now. I send you deep breaths and lightness, physical strength, flexibility, delight in the movement and in the ease. I send it to you, for you are the one representing the one I am. I send the same to all living on this planet through all time. I send it to all beings of light and love existing everywhere, and especially to the beings who are in confusion and missing the infinite love that is here now.
I bless them with peace. And so it is. Be at peace. Be in joy. Be love and delight in all. Thank you, myself, and all glorious beings who surround me now and who I am. Thank you, Infinite Source. Thank you. And so it is. I am.
Holy wind, blow through me, cast away my suffering, sing your truth down to my bones, for love is heart. Make a sail of my heart. Bind me to your ship of love. I hear you call, love. Shakti, fill us with your fire. Oh, Shekinah, make us whole. For love is all, love is all. In a
wish you love, peace, and abundance on your journey.